Once again, my name is Kevin Ha. I'm the lead pastor here at New City Church. I want to especially welcome you. Want to let you know a little bit about New City. I see some new faces. And New City, this is our vision statement. This is our mission statement. These are our core value statement. It is to be an inclusive, gospel-centered community of lovers of Jesus Christ, to connect people to God, grow together, serve the city, and extend God's kingdom. This is everything wrapped into one. So if you're wondering who we are, this is who we are about. And at the heart of it is the gospel. We're centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is this good news that God became a human being. God incarnated. He came down up there, came down here, and lived with us, dwelt among us, shared his life with us, and experienced our darkness, experience our suffering, experience humanity. And not only that, he died for us. That's the atonement. He died for us because we couldn't fix ourselves. We could not come to a place where we can say, hey, we got everything taken care of. But by his grace, because of what he has done, he has come to take our sins away and give us a new life in him, through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And we believe in that. But not only that, not only did he come, incarnation, that he died for us, atonement, but he also resurrected from the dead. He ascended and is coming back. That's the restorational aspect of the gospel that we ain't done yet. Now we live in between the time in which he has atoned for our sins, but restoration, complete restoration, is yet to come. So as we live in between the time, we are people who still suffer, who still mourn, who still experience pain, yet not as those without hope. We live in the hope of the resurrection and the hope of his coming back and restoration, not only of our physical bodies into resurrection, but the restoration of the world. We believe in the kingdom of God to come in its completion. And that is good news indeed for this violent world, for this world that seems so broken. And that's the gospel that we center everything on. The gospel that he came, he died for us, he resurrected, and he is coming back. That's at the heart of what we believe. And that guides, informs everything we believe and everything we do at this church. That's why we're inclusive. That's why we are multi-ethnic. That's why we're multi-socioeconomic. That's why we embrace one another, why we love one another. That's why we seek to demonstrate compassion in our neighborhood. That's why we seek to stand with those who are marginalized for social justice in our neighborhood. That's why we do the things that we do, because the gospel of Jesus Christ compels us. That is who we are. But at the heart of that is us, but, you know, surrounding it are lots of issues that Christians dispute about. And so you can disagree. And it's okay to disagree in our church, in this church. And so we agree on the essentials, but allow room for disagreement on the non-essentials. That's who we are here at New City Church. We want to welcome you. We hope that you can come back and become a part of this amazing community where we get to experience a life beyond our own little narrow sliver of culture and wherever we're from. We get to experience the richness of diversity in every way. So Grow and Serve Group is an amazing place to do it. And so I highly encourage you to take the next step, become a part of this community. During Lent, which is the 40-day preceding today, we went through a sermon series called Through the Darkness. It was a sermon series about common human affliction. So we talked about loneliness. We talked about emotional pain. Talked about rejection and bitterness and anxiety. And we also talked about greed. Our theme was that God was calling us to go through the darkness instead of hide our darkness, repress our darkness, avoid our darkness, but to actually feel it, acknowledge it, and go through it. And what we found as we dug into our darkness is that it is deeper and darker than we thought it was for many of us. And that is the point of Lent, to come to that place where we realize, I need God. Where the grace and love of God becomes so much more amazing because we know who we are. Unless we know who we are, God's grace and God's love just seems nominal. But when we see the depth of our brokenness and the depth of the brokenness of this world, we see God's amazing grace and what he has done for you. His death on the cross for our sin becomes so amazing that we become transformed and mesmerized by it. And not only do we see that hope of the Good Friday when Jesus was crucified, but we also see his love in us. So Jesus came to experience our lives, even the dark, suffering, painful part of our lives. And he entered into death to experience solidarity, even with our ultimate darkness. And he decided to take all of the darkness upon himself to free us from this nightmare of our darkness. And that's not all. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that's what we're celebrating. He broke through the cave and rolled away the stone. The question that I want to ask you is this: do you want to experience that power in your life? Do you want to experience the power in the cave in your life? And I'm here to declare this good news that it's actually possible to experience that. This is what Apostle Paul said about this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. So this passage is saying that the power of the resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is actually not just for Jesus, but it's actually available for you in your daily lives, your everyday lives, in our struggles, in our brokenness, in our disappointment, and in our sins, and in our own darkness. This power is available. And I want to share with you today about how this power works in a life of ordinary people like you and me by telling you a story. I want to tell you a story of a king. His name is David. I'm sure you've heard of him. Some of you are named after him. When David was a young boy, a prophet named Samuel came around and picked David and said that David had found favor with God. And he actually anointed David, and great things are going to happen in this young man's life. And for a while they did. Sometimes life turns out pretty well. David ends up going to the palace and he becomes a favored of the king. King Saul just loved David. David was his favorite musician. He's a songwriter, musician. And David ends up becoming best friends with the king's son, Jonathan. And also, David ends up marrying the king's daughter. Pretty good career move at the time. He became a warrior, and in his culture, he was wildly successful. He was so successful that they actually sung songs about the mighty, heroic warrior David. Everything he touched just turned to gold, and he led a charmed life. Then funny thing happened to him on his way to the top. He sort of all fell apart. one by one, all those wonderful things that he achieved or was given began to be stripped away from him. He became so successful that King Saul actually got jealous of the songs that people would sing about him, about his heroic endeavors. And one day, King Saul picked up a spear and tried to actually kill David. And so David has to run for his life. He loses his job, his income, his security. And some of you know what that's like. He loses his marriage. And I know some of you know what that's like. Saul was trying to kill David, and his wife helped David escape. But she ends up being taken back by Saul. I guess kings could do that at the time, and she was actually given in marriage to somebody else. So David now lost his marriage. He lost his family. He lost his position. He lost his job. He tries to go see Samuel, the one who anointed him. Samuel sort of became his spiritual mentor and went to see him, and Saul found out about it, and he had to run again. And then he found out that Samuel died. David would never see Samuel again, never get advice or guidance from his old mentor. He's gone. David tries to run to his best friend, Jonathan, but Jonathan could not turn against his own father. David has to run away one more time, and he would never see his friend again. That's how bad it was for David. And then you know what? It gets worse. Israel is so hot for him that he has to actually leave the country. His culture, his language. You know, when you're forced out of your own country, you lose everything. He's got nowhere to go. So he ends up running for refuge to a city called Gad. Let me tell you something about Gad. You might actually know something about it. Gad is the home of a guy who is a big warrior. He's kind of an enemy of David, and David killed him with a slingshot. Great big guy. Probably took some human growth hormones or something like that. A giant warrior. Anybody remember that guy's name? Goliath, that's right. Gath is the city that Goliath is from. City of Philistines. David is so desperate that he goes to his enemy city to take refuge from Saul. In fact, in order to get him to have pity on him, he pretends like he's crazy and insane. He pretends like he's foaming at his mouth and does crazy things, writes on the wall, and so that they wouldn't bother him, but they wouldn't have him. They kick him out. And he ends up living in a cave. This is David. At one time, he was living in a palace. He had wealth, power, fame, friends, security. He had a future. He had a family. He was a golden boy. And everything was gone from him. He's got no money, no home, no friends, no job, no mentor. He's running for his life. And he's living in a cave of the doomed. Now let's talk a little bit about the cave. The cave is where you end up when all of your props and supports and all of your scaffolding and all of your gifts and awards and, you know, affirmation from other people and all that stuff gets stripped away. Cave is where you end up when you thought you were going to have a great life, you're going to have a great family, you're going to do great things, but your hope turned to dust. And it's clear that things are not going to work out the way you dreamed of. Cave is a place where dream go die. And some of you are in that cave right now. Maybe you had a vocational dream that you're going to do something really good. It was really big, but it hasn't turned out that way. Maybe you lost your job and there's this enormous financial pressure on you. You worry about it every day. You wake up worrying about it. You're in a cave. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you lost your marriage to desertion, divorce, or maybe death. Maybe you wanted a relationship so bad, but it just hasn't worked out for you. Or maybe it did happen, but you're deeply disappointed or betrayed. You are in a cave. Maybe you wanted to be happy, but you found yourself in loneliness, rejection, emotional pain, turmoil, anxiety, for whatever reason. You are in a cave. Maybe you made a bad decision. Anybody make a bad decision here? Yeah, we all do. It's amazing. The first service, you go, ah, you guys were like, meh. How did I ever end up here? You might be asking yourself. I had such bright hopes. I had strong dreams, and it's really good, and I made some decisions and I engaged in some behaviors and I don't even know who I am anymore. How did I end up here? You are in a cave of remorse. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe you lost your health, your physical condition happened to you, or you know, something happened to your physical condition to you, or maybe to someone you love. Maybe you find yourself alone. Maybe you betray a deeply held value and you live in this sense of guilt in your life. A cave is a place of pain, of disappointment, of regret, of failure, of fear. You know, the funny thing about the cave is that nobody actually plans on ending up in the cave. We live in a world where cave avoidance is sort of something that we pride ourselves in doing. Or we think to ourselves, hey, I can figure out how to get out of the cave. But somewhere down the line, sooner or later, everybody is going to log some time in a cave. Maybe you're there right now, or maybe not. But sooner or later, it'll come to all of us because we live in a broken world. What is the hardest about being in a cave is that we begin to wonder if God lost track of us. You begin to wonder, well, did he forget me? Did he forget his promises? Does he remember where I am? Does anybody hear me? Is there anybody out there who really understands what's really going on? Does he know that I'm here in a cave? Will I ever get out of this cave? Will I die here? But there's one more thing about the cave you need to know, and this is really, really important. The cave is where God does some of his best work in molding and shaping and reshaping human lives. The cave, for some reason, I don't really actually fully understand it. Sometimes with all the props and crutches and scaffoldings and awards and achievements and all the accolades, everything is stripped away. And you find that all you need is God. Then you know God is enough. Sometimes the cave is where you meet God. God who does his best work in the caves. It's a funny thing. When people look back in their lives and you ask them, what made you grow spiritually? In times when you met God and you learned to be patient or to trust, what was going on? The number one answer is this. It was during a time of suffering. It was during cave times. Well, David spent like 10 years of his life in a cave. 10 years. Everything was great, going great for so long, and then he ends up in a cave and ends up spending 10 years in the wilderness and cave. And you know what? He wasn't actually by himself. He did have some people come to him, and he formed a little community. But you know, this community was not a very promising group. This is what the Bible says about them. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says this: all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gather around him, and he became their commander. I mean, David and his band of whiners established this kind of a refugee community in a village called Ziklag. And they take wives and they have families. And then they were off in a battle, and when they come back, they're all gone. They're all gone. Their home, they're all gone. The village is gone. Their family, their wives, their sons, their daughters have been taken captive. They lost everything. And then the text says, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Have you ever cried like that? I mean, you hit bottom. Life sometimes leads you to the bottom. These are outlaws and fugitives from their own country. They establish this refugee community, and now even that's all gone. They're so overwhelmed by their sadness, so crushed that they cried until they literally cannot cry anymore. They wept until they had no strength left to weep. Ever been that low? And then, for David, it gets worse. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit. Have you ever had a bad day? Yep, yeah. People not happy with you. This David is this fugitive from his own country. His king is trying to kill him. He's lost his mentor, lost his best friend, lost his wife, lost his future, lost his security, lost his reputation, he lost his money, lost his home, finds the courage to launch this little startup of a community in the middle of nowhere in a cave with a bunch of whiners, and things go bad, and now they want to kill him. And then comes, I think, one of the most astounding little phrase in the Bible. It's just one little phrase. In verse 6, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. That's it. David found strength. Not in his own resilience, own fix, Mr. Fix-itness, not in his own brilliance, not on his own capacity, his own determination. David found strength in the Lord his God. It's just that one sentence. Everything changed. Now, his circumstances, even afterwards, were no different than they'd been. Everything, if you look at it from the outside, it looked exactly the same. But David had passed from death to life. It's not about David at all. It looked like the bottom had fell out in his life, and he landed in the arms of God. David found strength in the Lord, his God. You know, David would go on to live a fairly remarkable life. Eventually, he does go back to Israel and become king. And his kingdom was so beautiful that people would look upon David and say, the Messiah that is to come will be like King David, they would say. They would talk about one such as Son of David. If there can only be a king like David, people yearn. Again, even afterwards, David knew, you know, big highs and big lows. He would achieve great victories. He would make huge mistakes. But I wonder, for the rest of his life, I wonder if he actually, in his mind or even physically, go back to the cave and thought about that moment where he found strength in the Lord his God. I wonder if you've done that. You know, we're all cave dwellers in one way or another. When everything is stripped away, you find strength in this resurrection power of God to take you from death to life. It turns out that God understands all about caves. Turns out that caves are why he sent Jesus. It turns out that when Jesus came, he was called the Son of David. And for a little while, just like David, everything went great. For a little while, a lot of stuff that Jesus touched just turned to gold. And people loved his teaching. And people would come to Jesus, those who were in distress, in debt, or discouraged. And those who were sick, lame, leper, shunned. They would come to him, and he would heal them. He would embrace them. He would touch them. And he loved them. And the word spread, and the crowd grew. Until one day he came to Jerusalem, and we call that day he came to Jerusalem Palm Sunday. Last Sunday we remember that. And they were so excited about what he could do, what he was about to do, how their lives might change, that they lined up in the streets of Jerusalem praising him. Hosanna, Hosanna. This new king has come, and they throw palm branches on his way. They put clothes on his way and cried out, Hosanna, the Son of David. They wanted to make him king, but Jesus would not be the kind of king that they wanted him to be. When they found that out, they all turned on Jesus, the Son of David. And he also lost everything. His position as a teacher, he lost his safety, he lost his disciples, his friends who ran away from him when he needed them the most. The Son of David also had people, huge crowds, who were disappointed in his leadership as well. He also had people who wanted to kill him. But this time, they did it. They killed him. They put him under arrest and sent him to a mockery of a trial. And they convicted him on a basis of nothing. And they ripped and beat his body and put a crown of thorn on his head. And they nailed him to the cross. And all of our sins, you know, it's not just these people who committed a sin by crucifying him. All of our sin put him there. The most perfect man who ever lived, the only sinless human life, the most unfair death that has been inflicted on anyone. And our sins put it there. Put him on a cross, and they saw him die. And they thought, well, that's it. That's the end of that. And they took him down from the cross, and they put the body in a place where they thought they would never hear of him again. You know where they put the body? In a cave. They didn't know that God does his best work in a cave. And he is risen. Hallelujah. The cave is where God resurrected Jesus. The cave is where God demonstrates his greatest power. The cave is where supernatural power of God actually comes into our lives. I want to ask you, are you in a cave right now? Do you feel like your life hasn't turned out the way you want it? Do you feel like something is broken inside of you? Or maybe in the world? Do you feel this sense of emptiness in your life? And you know and feel that nothing in this world could actually fix it? No matter how hard you try? I'm not saying that everything will magically fix itself, but I am saying that God's presence will be with you. Powerful presence of the Spirit of God will be with you. His Spirit. There's nothing you cannot face if His presence is with you. I'm not saying that your circumstances will magically change and immediately everything's going to be hunky-dory. I am saying that God will fill you with joy even in midst of dire circumstances. Because there will be this unstoppable force inside of you that generates power beyond anything that you can imagine. It is the power of this resurrection. And this is what it means to live in the power of the resurrection. Finding God's power. Finding God's presence. Finding God's love. Finding God's embrace. Even in midst of the difficulties and darknesses of your life. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, for some of us, we have been in a cave season, oh Lord. For some of us, we've seen our friends in a cave season right now. Our family in a cave time right now. Lord, we thank you that you do your best work in a cave. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you came to share in our struggles, to empathize with us, to embrace us, to love us, and to ultimately die for us so that we could experience, like you, the power of the resurrection in our lives, the power in the cave. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that your hands will be upon each and every person here, O Lord. I pray that, Lord, if there are things that we're struggling with, if we're going through a cave time, would you bring the power of your presence upon us, oh Lord? Power of your grace, power of your love, power of the Holy Spirit, oh Lord. And help us to dwell in you, and help us to see you, and help us to walk with you, oh Lord. Help us to live in the power of the resurrection. Oh, Lord. And I want to ask you, if there are anyone here that maybe you're visiting today and you kind of sense that this is something you want, but you don't quite know what it means to want it or actually step into it. You know, it's not magic. It's a decision that you make to say, I am in a cave and I need his power in my life. I need his presence. I need his love. That's all you have to do. Acknowledge your need, acknowledge your brokenness, acknowledge your sin, and say, Lord, May I be redeemed by what you have done on the cross. May I experience the power of the resurrection along with you. That's all. And then you begin a relationship with God and community. We can help you. There's a class called Basic Belief. We're starting next week, in which you can ask more questions and process some of the things that you might have questions about. This is a church where we respect, we're completely and respect your brain, and we're completely intellectually honest with you. There's no like, just believe, just because. But God gave us a brain to process, so we process with you. So we want to invite you to that. We want to invite you in a journey of following Jesus Christ and finding out more. So I hope you can make that your decision. Lord, thank you. And I pray that for everyone who's wondering, oh Lord, may your spirit take a hold of them and guide them each step of the way. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.